Hello, welcome back, everybody, to another year of the Sunday Podcast.
I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Back in 2025 for our fifth season. You can expect more of this.
He's claiming that he was ill before the semifinal, whatever. But, you know, I just feel like at that point he was just looking for attention.
And some of this.
And you normally say, no human is limited. So I can't limit myself, or I can't just say I can do.
As well as event coverage around all the major races on the UK circuit.
And if you're a fan of the pod, please give us a rating and review on your preferred podcast streaming service.
And if you want to stay up to date with all the latest news, give us a follow on Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
As always, thanks for listening. See you next time. And we hope you enjoyed the episode.
Hello and welcome back to another episode. As always, this one is brought to you guys by sportshoes.com. World Champs preview incoming, which kicks off on Saturday, the 13th of September. So Matt and I are very excited. Matt is going out to Tokyo as well. Lucky, lucky boy there too. So yeah, he'll be there. I'm sure bringing some behind the scenes content, mate. You're going to be posting up on our stories and stuff like that?
Certainly try to, mate. Depends on how often I can get in a stadium. But yeah, I'll be there. I'm buzzing. And yeah, I'll try to get as much content out as possible and just sit back and enjoy the athletics as well. Just scanning the timetable now, because it's just a crazy, crazy period with the World Champs starting next weekend. And obviously it's the same weekend as the Copenhagen Half. And then the following weekend is obviously the Berlin Marathon, but the World Champs is going to obviously take place alongside both of those. So yeah, there's a lot going on in the running world over the next week, but we are going to focus on the World Champs today. We're going to get a few predictions in and just discuss who the heavy favourites are and perhaps who the outsiders are as well.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. We're going to go through usual thing, 800 up to the marathon, maybe. Marathon's always tough, though, isn't it, to know who's doing it? But yeah, we will do our best to talk through the big hitters, make some predictions. How good they are, we do not know. Sometimes we're on it, sometimes we're not. But hopefully you guys can listen along and either agree or disagree with us. Doesn't really matter. And hopefully that's a good episode for you guys. I know we get lots of good feedback around some of this, so hope you enjoy this one as well. Mate, let's get into the 800, shall we, mate? Start with that men's eight.
Coming in. I mean, who do we think is going to win? Who are the sort of, I mean, interestingly with the men's eight, I think we saw Hoppe at the Diamond League, but the big, you know, you got Luchtenhaus, how's he going to perform at Brazer? They're the big question marks for me, and kind of looking how well Brazer ran at the US Champs. We haven't seen him since. And sometimes, is that a good thing or is it a bad thing? You know, we know Brazer's injury prone, and I like to think that he's going to be, if he's been healthy that whole time, I like to think that he's going to turn up to the champs, and he's looking at these guys flog themselves running 142 week in, week out on the Diamond League circuit, and he's going, do you know what, I'm gonna be in a position to absolutely smash them, because he looks so good at the US champs. But you know, just the fact that we haven't seen him, I'm a little bit like, is there something up there? Did he have a little niggle post US trials, and how's his preparations gone? But I actually think off the back of the US trials and off the back of seeing the likes of Wanyonyi, even Bergin, even Arop, you know, all of these guys, Sajati, haven't really seen too much of 2 hour. Like, looking at the 800 runners that we've seen week in, week out in the Diamond League, I look at Brazer and I look at how he's gone about his season this year. And I think actually he could go into the Worlds as, you wouldn't call him a favorite just because Wanyonyi is just almost unbeatable. He just seems to just get the job done 9 times out of 10. But even he's been beaten this year. And I look at Brazer, I just think he could be the favorite. And I think he is going to be in such a strong position.
Yeah, I almost think it's probably potentially the opposite, in that because he's been so injury prone, they're just thinking, look, you've done the job. You've run quick enough to go into the championship. Let's just not take any risks, particularly with those guys based in the US, to come over to Europe, like picking up things like colds here and there. Obviously, we saw it in the Goose as well. The travel, it's just risky, right? When you've booked your spot and you're running good time already, why not just lock in for some training, particularly as you're someone that clearly can't take loads and loads of races.
Yeah. And I think with the 800 as well, the advantage they have is they have the heats and they have the semifinals and they have the final. And so the fact that you haven't raced, I don't really think too much of a negative in the 800, because he built, I mean, in the US trials, I think Brazer was like 148, 145, 142, or 148, 144 or something, and then 142. So obviously his heat won't be as slow at the world, but, you know, chances are he's going to get a couple where he knows he's going to have to get a couple races in 144, 143 in order just to make it into that final. So I guess the fact that he hasn't raced much isn't really a negative, but I hope it's for the right reasons. I hope it's because he has sort of chosen not to race and keep his powder dry. But yeah, so I think, and Luxenhaus, I'm unsure of. Like, I mean, he's a high school phenom, and, you know, he did run exceptionally well at the US trials, but the US trials, things really blew open in that last 100. There were gaps all over the place, and I just don't think that you look at the Diamond League and you look at the 800s that you see, when you have, there was depth at the US trials, but when you have a lot more depth, like in a semi-final in a heat, and I think you can't be giving guys that much room that Luxenhaus gave them, and chances are he might not be able to find his way through. And also, it's just been a crazy long season for the guy. I mean, he's started racing in April. So for him, I'm not sure he's going to make the final even, Luxenhaus. But I look at Brazier and I'm like, I think I'm going to hang the gold on Donovan Brazier or
Max Bogan.
And I think it's crazy to count out Wang Yonyi, but I just think the guy has just, he's just raced so much. People can key off him. I mean, Hoey beat him at that Diamond League in Lausanne. He is the only man who's run 141 this year. But I think, you know, he's going to be there to be shot at. And he is, for me, just starting to look a little tired.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is with that, though, is that just, he's just in heavy training, and because he's still got time post that last race to freshen up for the champs. So yes, you might have been looking tired, but actually, was that the plan? I don't know. It's so hard to know, isn't it? Without like being kind of in
camp. And A-Rock's been.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. We counting out the defending champ?
No, I mean, he has been a bizarre. He's run his races just bizarrely this year. He's almost changed his tactic. I think he's accepted that Wang Yonyi's kind of, he in the Diamond Leagues at least, he's accepted that Wang Yonyi always wants to get to the front and be that one chasing the pacer, be the one in behind the pacer and on the lights. And A-Rock's like, okay, well, I'm going to sit back. But he's been sitting so far back. Like, this is a guy who is just a natural aggressive front runner. Like, he is so good over the four. His form is, his stride is huge. He needs to be out front. And I'm surprised that he's tried to sort of bide his time and sit in the pack, but he doesn't have that, you know, his strength is holding on and keeping a relentless rhythm going. He doesn't have that gear change that these boys do. Even like, you know, like Bergen's been pulling away from him in the, you know, in the home straight he did the other night in the Diamond League, and he just doesn't have that real zip in that last 100, A-Rock. And he's been struggling.
Yeah.
So his tactics have confused me this season.
But you could argue he's been working on his weaknesses then this season.
I think he has. I think he's looked to, you know, potentially trying to win the world title, and the fact that he might realize that, look, I'm not sure I can front run this race and win. And so he's tried to get better at being in the pack, tried to get better at sort of closing the last 100 without sort of like hanging on, but he hasn't done it with much success at all. He could have been strategically planning his season and not worrying about the Diamond Leagues and not worrying about picking up wins on the circuit and just get to Worlds and turn up. But it is so close. I mean, there's 15 guys in the world who have run 142 this year. All of them are going to be at the champs bar Josh Hervey. It's crazy. And this is why, like, when we have...
It's why the semifinals are just absolutely ridiculous. We say it every year, but it is true. You make the final, you give yourself a shot at the medal. No matter who you are.
64 people have run inside 144.5, which was the qualifying time. My goodness. Tiernan Crawford in 144.48, obviously. But even the semifinals. Now, with this much depth in the 800, I just think even a semifinal is going to be difficult. Because like I said, with 15 on 142, and then you've got, you know, a whole host. I mean, till you get to 143, I think there's 30 guys, just over 30 guys who have run under 144 this year. Mm. 30. They're only going to have 3 semifinals, right? So there's 24. And look, some of them aren't doing it, but at least 24 of them are doing it. So you've got 24 guys in the semis that are 143 performers. So it's going to be, the qualification is going to be extremely difficult. And I think way harder than it's ever been. It doesn't seem to be, and I think on the Diamond Leagues as well, it doesn't seem to be any front runners. You've got someone like Tu Ao, who's a 142 guy this year. We haven't seen much of, but obviously we know he's run 141 and, yeah, just sort of people building. Bergen does look at his absolute best. This is better than we've ever seen him before. So, but Yeah, I'm just going to be so intrigued to see the dynamics, to see that. I mean, the heats and the semis are going to be so exciting, let alone just the final.
That's it. And I think that's when the predictions can really come, is when we look at how people look in the heats, look at how they look in the semis. And then it's a lot easier to see how things are shaping up, like particularly in the 800, whereas I feel like some of the other events, people can look pretty poor and then come out. But I think in the 8, you can tell a lot of time in the rounds.
Do you know what though? If you're a coach or an athlete, how the hell do you plan to negotiate these heats and semifinals? Knowing that you could, like I say, you're going to get that heat list, whatever, 2 or 3 days before the race. And it's going to be like, you're going to look down, 142, 143, 142, 143. And you're just sitting there, you like, how, because, and this is why.
I think unless you're Wanyonyi, right? You basically have to treat every round like a final.
You have to treat every round like a final. But the problem is with every race you do a time trial with wave lights, like period, then how do you expect yourself to how do you go about planning your tactic and your strategy for the heat or the semifinal?
Because that's where Grand Slam comes in.
This is where Grand Slam comes in. But there, like, I do think, you know, a lot of them, they're going to go in there and it's just like, it's so much of it's going to be on your positioning in that opening 300. If you have bad positioning in that opening 300, it's going to be tough to get through the rounds, and tough to make up any sort of ground on the level of the guys that you got in the race. And also, what's going to happen is, you know, if you come up with a Wanyonyi or an AROP or something like that, or even a Bergin, like, this is why I think Bergin has a really good chance, because he's not afraid to dictate and control races. And they're probably the only people who could go into Worlds and be confident. Whereas everyone else is just going to wait and see what the big hitter does in the heats or the semis. And they're just going to have to react during the race and just hope for dear life that they find a break on the inside, or hope that, you know, people start fading, or hope that someone doesn't fall. Like, I just think it's almost going to be pot luck who makes it into that final.
Yeah. It is certainly is, mate. Look, well, I think we should predict Bergin, mate. Let's just hang the medal around his neck. It's so open. Why are we not?
I did write down Keely for the dub and Bergin for the dub.
Wow.
Because I think Bergin he loves getting out hard, and he's comfortable leading. Should he lead? Should he find himself in the lead? So he won't panic if he does find himself in the lead. But also, because he can get out so hard, he'll be on the shoulder who's ever in front. So if it's Wanyonyi, if it's AROP, whoever it is, he'll be right up there paying close attention. And there's few men who look as smooth as Bergin going through in 49.50. And you know, that's what they're going to do. I guess the only
surrounds for me with Bergin.
Oh, I see. But the 800, let me just double check the times there. I think they're so kind to them these days. Like, it's not, let's have a look. Men's semi is on the 18th. I think their heats are on the, mate, they have a day off in between races. It's pathetic these days. Mate, yeah. See, this is the thing. We used to go, oh, it's the rounds. That's when they used to do, like, I mean, they used to have four rounds, right, back in the day. But they also used to do, I remember when Rudisha ran a world record in 2012, it was back to back. And I think he had the heats and semis. You do the heats in the morning, semis in the evening of the following day. And then you'd have, and then I think there was a day off. And then
one day rest, yeah.
Mate, they're doing an 800 day off. 800 day off. 800.
Yeah. That's what you do in training, right? Three sessions a week.
Oh, yeah. I don't think the rounds, but, you know, because there is a day off in between each race, it'll probably make the semis a lot harder, a lot more aggressive. The only possible sort of outcome of this race as well is there could be a super aggressive first lap. Like, there could be a suicidal 48-something first lap, and they try and get after that world record.
It's what we want to see, right, as a fan.
And then if that does happen, then I think you open the door to someone sort of coming through late and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think the big three for me are probably Bergin, Brazier, and I think that's where the medals will come from.
I don't think I'd count out AROP, mate. He's not looked amazing this year, but he's been there or thereabouts for the past few years anyway. And I just think just the sheer size of the guy, like, it's so hard to get around him when he does hit the front. And I think I like to think that what we were saying earlier, I like to think he's been purposely trying to work on some weaknesses. Because a lot of the time, that's what we do. We sit here and we're like, well, he can't do that. He can't do this. She can't do that. She can't do this. Why don't you do something about it? And I like to think that an athlete like that is kind of trying to work on some of the things they're not so good at. And actually, if he gets it right,
I think he's looked good enough. If he could have, if he was in the shape to be winning races this year, he would have been winning races. And I think he just hasn't. He's a great athlete, obviously, but yeah, I just don't think he's going to be good enough to win this race. My big three: Bergen, Wanyonyi, Brazier. We'll see who else can get amongst it.
Oh, it is wide open. It is absolutely wide open for sure.
Well, it is wide open, but when you do watch the Diamond Leagues, like the likes of Bergen, the likes of Wanyonyi, they do run away with it. And Brazier, you know, did run away with the US Trials, although Luxenhaus closed incredibly fast. And the head-to-head, and I think you've got to start thinking about the head-to-heads, like against these guys. Like 2 hours, never, you know, he's never touched Wanyonyi. You know, yeah. You know, Bergen's now starting to get quite a nice head-to-head against all the other guys, like your Atuis and your Peter Bowles and your Bryce Hopples and those guys who are, you know, great athletes, semi-finalists. You know, they're going to try and sneak into a final, but yeah, I think the head-to-heads in the 800 is quite important because most of the races are run in quite similar fashion as well. Just 49.50 for that first lap. So I guess, yeah, the only other thing is, will we see a world record? Will we see a world record from, let's move over to the, well, men's quickly. World record, I don't think it's happening.
Nah. It's gone, mate. They should have done it last year.
Last year was the moment.
Yeah, it's gone. It's like a 1500 one. It's gone now. That's it.
Yeah, 1500 one.
New
for
proper
me.
Guys need to come. It's gone for the Norwegian athletes, right?
That Norwegian Moberg.
It was like during the men's high jump one, where forever they had like five guys trying to get it every Diamond League.
Mate, the men's high jump now, I don't know what's happened to it. They're jumping like Diamond League. Yeah. You're jumping like 225 and getting on the podium. I'm like, people doing that in English schools. Anyway.
See, we do watch other events, just to clarify. But mate. Well, we say the men's 800 is wide open. One event that is not wide open is the women's 800 meters. Keely's ridiculous. I still can't get over how much.
World records. Is she capable of doing a world record?
Yeah. Of course she's capable of it. I'm not saying 100% going to do it, but she is definitely capable.
The thing, she gets through those rounds, I think she attacks the world record. I think this is going to be, Keely's the Radisha of the female game. And, you know, it's her era. And I think we are just going to see a Keely attack an extremely fast time in the final. Look, the track's electric. There's going to be an amazing crowd. The weather's going to be, for 800 running, the weather's going to be perfect. It's going to be 30 degrees and hot and humid. And for the 800, that's, humidity might be a bit too much, but it's definitely going to be warm. That's what you need for an 800. It does muscles to be nice and loose. And yeah, she's going to get after it. And she's going to try and run as close to the world record as she can, I think. I expect
she sticks in at all. I think she just...
Yeah, I expect a 56 first lap in a final. And this is where I think, you know, when we talk about Georgia Bell, and I think this might be something that we overlooked the other day when we were discussing her option just to do the 800, is the one thing she'll have over everyone else in that field is she'll know what Keely's going to do. And I think that's probably an advantage, because if she knows Keely's going to run 50 through this, or 56.0 or whatever through that first lap, Georgia knows, okay, well, I can sit off it a little bit and try and work through the field, and I can let people like Vero and Sokodizo and Deguma, I can let them go with it, because they will. They'll want to go and get a PB themselves. They'll want to go get a medal themselves and run a fast time.
Yeah, and I think I think Georgia Bell medals 100% for me.
Why haven't we seen Deguma? Is she injured or what? I don't know why.
This is the problem, mate, with our sport. There's no way of knowing. What's that?
She might pull out the spectacular.
No one's beating Keely.
Imagine that. Keely and Deguma coming off the top end.
Yeah, you're backing Keely. This is the thing. I think Keely a few years ago, you were always a bit like, she's going to be there or thereabouts, but she probably struggled to get right over the line. But she's just a different beast now. Like the confidence, I think, from last year. And I think the way she's this year handled the setbacks and the injuries and the media attention, and then come out and run the way she has is ridiculous.
Yeah. Well,
better than last year.
Obviously
she hasn't won the world title yet, but
yeah, it's a bit of a mic drop when she ran 154, wasn't it?
Exactly. It was like, yep, no, I'm back and I'm still the best, very much the best.
Yeah, women's 800. I think it is obviously in Keely's hands. There's not too much to talk about it. It's just going to be you know, if we are going to see a Rudisha 2012-esque race, is who can basically judge it the best for them and who can come away with their medals. And obviously, Georgia's going to know what's happening. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, she's the third fastest 800-meter runner in the world this year. And she's got a great head-to-head against a lot of these women. And so, yeah.
You're smart in the races.
You probably would back her. You probably, yeah, you'd back her, get a medal for sure. And it's going to be Vero, it's going to be Daguma, Naui. I mean, there is seven women who have run 156 or quicker this year. And, you know, the amount of women who have run 157 is also frightening. Talk about the men's depth. But I think from 8th to 30, I think Riki's 30 something on the rankings. And she's run 158 this year. 157 this year. So I know Riki's 158. But within a second, you've got 20, 25 women, which is just, yeah, crazy. And mate, Jess Hull's doubling. And I think, you know, we said the timetable, if you're a 1500 runner, why not? 800's next, 800 second, get your 1500 out of the way and double and see if you can make the world final. I don't think she will, especially after the 1500. But
no, and if she does, she won't feature, I don't think.
No, but she's in Tokyo and I think she just wants to give it a go. I respect that.
Yeah. So Keely, what are we saying? Low 154s she'll run and take the win?
Low 154. 154.00002, I reckon.
Yeah.
Tell you what forfeit can I do if Keely beats my 800 meter time? I think my 800 PB is 154.1 something. Let me get my power 10 up. We'll let the fans think of a forfeit for me. Do we have any fans anymore? Yeah, my PB is 154.19.
Christ. There we go. So if Keely beats that, Matt will do something, send in some suggestions. But yeah, if we have any fans anymore.
Well, Keely beats
that. Yeah, we've not been posting much on Instagram because George has been on holiday, so he's been slacking, so apologies about that. But hopefully we still retain some listeners.
George, how was your trip in Nice, George?
We've probably got more chance of him responding to this than a WhatsApp message, so.
Possibly. Anyway, yeah, so there's the 800s. There's a two-lap dash wrapped up, a 1500. Kibiegon on the women's side. I mean, there's so many locks on the women's side. I mean, it's like Keely's going to win.
Kibiegon. I mean, we say this every year.
There are locks. There are locks. Keely, wow. Kibiegon, Chebet in the 5 and the 10. Women's steeple was...
I'm pretty sure we said this last year and then we got them wrong.
No, we didn't. We didn't get them wrong last year because Keely won. Kibiegon won.
I don't think we locked Keely last year.
And Chebet did a double. Yeah, we probably didn't.
Because obviously she'd shown a few cracks. I think we tried to lock Kibiegon in the 5.
Yeah, we might have said Kibiegon do double. But this year, look.
We did. We said that's a lock.
Yeah. No, but this year, Keely, Kibiegon, Chebet. And then, yeah, it's the women's steeple and the women's marathon, which is a little trickier to call. But, yeah. That's that. So the women's 15, I guess we'll just have to focus. We just have to focus on the sort of the Brits in it and how well they can do.
Yeah, and obviously no Georgia Bell, which opens up a spot, which is great for the other Brits. I mean, Laura Muir, how well can she
do? Because Segei is not doing the 1500 either. So you've got Weltergate,
Kibiegon, and then what we describe as a tired Jess Hull.
No, Jess Hull will be doing the 15 first. So,
no, but as in from the races recently, I mean.
Oh, yeah. I think she did look a little
bit. Diamond Leagues.
Yeah, I mean, you're blowing up like that. It's a little bit of a concern, isn't it? But especially if Kipyegon, you know, and I wonder what Jess Hull, if you're Jess Hull now, it does get a little tricky because if Kipyegon does another 348, 349 display, I think you've got a scenario where you have got, you've obviously got Jess Hull, you've got Weltergate. But then you've got people like Nikki Hilkes who are absolutely flying. Lyndon Hall, Sinclair Johnson. Like, these ladies are ready to go run another PB. And they're ready to go run a 3:54, 3:53. And I think they're going to be a lot closer going into the last 300 to Hull as they have been previously.
So well, that's Hull, it. I mean, previously.
Laura Muir situation. It's the Laura Muir situation. Laura Muir had to go through this period when she was the aggressor and she was happy to go with these suicidal paces of Hassan and Asta Semenya and people like that. Yeah, DeBarber. But then Laura Muir obviously had a period where she would just get stuck in the middle there and the whole field would, you know, the best of the rest would key off her. And I think Hull is going to come under threat.
Yeah, I think so, mate. Because I think she's had that almost that luxury of knowing that, well, if I go with them, no one else is going to come with, and I'm strong enough that they won't quite catch me.
Yep.
Whereas this time, she's got to almost think, do I want to be the one that actually, do I want to stay in the pack and then try and outkick these girls and let Welterjee and Kipyegon go? Because I don't think she's strong enough this year to go with them and then die, like, not enough, you know?
I agree. Well, I feel if Hull goes with them, I feel the rest of the pack will be quite close behind because you've got...
Yeah, I think they reel her in, whereas in previous years they haven't. But then I don't think if she stays with the pack, can she outkick them?
Yeah, because you've got the Ethiopian, Hailu, Cheer Cheer. They'll probably all get after it and go with it. So can Jess Hull outkick them? I don't know. You know, it's the thing is the kick in the 1500 is... It's difficult.
Sarah Healy, mate, she get on the rostrum?
No way.
She slowed down a bit in the past couple of weeks, but she was flying earlier in the season.
She was, mate. But this is the thing, a lot of people, when you go back through, I told you, they all ran their PB in Paris or in Stockholm or in Oslo. You know, a lot of people boxed off their PB season's best in, well, for a lot of people, it was PBs and national records in June, early July. And then they obviously prepare for their national champs to get that done. People don't look quite as good after their national champs, I don't think. And, you know, the Diamond Leagues we've seen post-national champs haven't been as hot. And then obviously you've got the Worlds as well. And, you know, a lot of people have chosen not to race. So, be interesting. I mean, I think Laura Muir is going to be in with a shout, I think. No, but a medal might be a stretch for her, but... She's been there before. I think she's actually one of the few athletes who is trending upwards going into the world.
Free hit for her as well. I don't think she's going in there with the pressure of trying to medal.
No.
And that goes a long way.
She's going to look, you know, she was amazing last year and she's going to look at the likes of Lyndon Hall and Nikki Hilt and people are happy like, I'm
better athlete. Yeah.
Better athlete. I'm better than you. And, you know, I've done more. I've been around longer. And like, okay, she might be towards the end of her career, but when Laura Muir is at her best, she can beat those women. Sinclair Johnson, she can destroy them. So hopefully we see a Laura Muir break into that sort of top 5-6.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be an epic result for her, given obviously the circumstances.
And she'll run smart as well. If it goes stupid, she will run smart.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, you walk on Nolan's, you're Erin Wallace, so you just gotta get themselves in a semi-final and see what they can do. But
yeah,
it will be difficult. Do you know, and then, men's
team's 15. Over. Let's go.
Huh?
Team's over. Over.
Yeah, Mr. Hocker. I just, do you know what? I think all three of the Americans are seriously dangerous because you've got Jonah Kovach, who is just, I saw him do a workout the other day on the YouTube and 3:452 off 2 minutes recovery at 6,000 feet, Colorado Springs. I was like, God, that's pretty legit. And
hey, sprinting's easier altitude.
Mate, 2 minutes recovery doing a 5,200 is pretty hard. He called it early. I want to know what his fourth rep would have been. He was due to do 4.4s. Reckons he had a bit of a tight hamstring. But
he finished the session, mate.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, he's popped. Can't be getting excited about that.
He does look bloody good, though. He looks supreme. I think all three of the Americans are the biggest threat. It's hard because we haven't seen much of Josh Kerr. I don't think he was sort of at his best at the London Diamond League. Don't think he was at his best at British Champs. And so let's see how his last 6 weeks or almost more than, yeah, it's like seven weeks have gone. Mm. And I think we'll know more about Kerr when we see him go through the rounds. But, you know, you think about Ethan Strand, Jonah Kovach, and like I said, it's easy to get excited about Laros, but Strand, Kovach, and Hocker can all do what Laros has done. And they've done it on a bigger stage as well. So I'm just going to back Hocker. I've backed him since the start of the year, I think. I think this men's 1500, it won't be as quick. It won't be... Is Jakob bluffing? Like, has Jakob bluffed us all year? Is he going to come out and try and lead this thing? And for Jakob, this is a horrible situation for Jakob to be in. I'm so intrigued what he is going to do in the 1500. I mean, he always backs himself. I presume he's going to be in really good shape. I mean, indoors he was in incredible shape. So despite even having an injury, if he gets anywhere near the sort of shape he was indoors, I mean that's probably close to world championship meddling shape. You know, running world records indoors like that. So But I think the race is surely, if it doesn't slow during the middle, then I think Jakob has just not learned his lesson, and he's just going to hope that he can outrun as many men as possible. And I think he won't. Yeah. He's been walking up hills in St. Moritz, keeping his lactate low.
Yeah.
But, oh, it's going to be, I just don't know how that
it's
is. Gonna,
it's that big three still. And that's what's so exciting is that Jakobs are going to be there. Hocker's going to be there firing. Kerr's going to be there firing. We get to see all three of them. All three of them will be in the final, and it's going to be a big shootout. And I think, look, Kerr and Hocker are the big two, but
can you ever count out Jakob?
Just the guy's personality, like,
no,
he's just been
done it.
Quiet, grinding out some filthy training.
Well, mate, you got to look at his record though. Previous record over the 1500, you know, beat by Whiteman.
I think half the problem has been that all year in those seasons, he's just done the same thing, and it's been in a paced race. Mate, I think that's been his biggest weakness, is he's just done it all season and he's raced too much.
How? I don't know. I just can't see Jakob.
I don't think he wins. I'm not predicting he wins, by the way. Just to clarify.
Jakob ain't close.
I never predicted Jakob win.
Yeah, if this race is like, I mean, Lauros is out there closing in, and like Jonah Coates are out there closing in 12.5, 12.2, 12.3 in a 3.30 race. I can't see Jakob doing that. You know, he's going to need to throw in a bigger lap somewhere. And I think we could see a Jakob who really hammers it on that sort of third lap, tries to break a few men, because at that point, it's going to be a lot of men. Yeah, I think that's the problem with a lot of the Diamond Leagues. And again, Jakob in last year at Paris, the first lap was too quick, third lap was too slow. And I think you need to, if Jakob is standing any chance of getting on the podium here, he needs to drill that third lap. He needs to El Garouge this thing. First lap needs to be your kind of modest 55, 56. And then he needs to start really cranking it and asking questions of these guys who can go run a 12 point, you know, last 100. I mean, Ethan Strand, like people like that, you can't let them gather themselves going into the bell. Like, you can't let them chill in the pack. You can't do all that hard work early and then just let them get back onto you and everyone sort of not bunch up because they're still running at 56 pace. Or, you know, a lot of Diamond Leagues has been a 57 third lap this year. And, you know, and that's too slow. If Jakob stands any chance, he needs to keep that third lap extremely aggressive. I personally think that. Otherwise, you're going to have loads of men attacking you that last 100 there. And the reason why I back Cole Hocker is because I expect there's going to be a lot of bodies, because the men's 1500 is deeper and deeper and deeper than ever. And I think there's going to be 6, 7, 8 guys who can all contest coming into the final 200, the final 300. And Hocker has just proven time and time again that he can sort of get himself out of positions. And when he's trapped and there's loads of bodies around him, he can come through. He can come on the inside. He can come on the outside. He can close hard. And he just has that cadence where he can just flick a switch. And I think not many have that.
I think Kerr will make a bit of a long bid for home, to be honest. I think he'll, bit like he tried to, well, say tried to do, bit like he did in pre-last year when he beat Jakob and like grabbed the race by the scruff of the neck a bit and really hammer it. Because I think he's aware of Hocker's change of pace and will be aware of those other Americans, like you say, people like Ethan Strand, people like Coates, who have that absolute zip when it comes to going from 0 to 100.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, you know, yeah, Kerr definitely doesn't have that, but will he want to be out there? Will he want to put himself up at the front and be there to be shot at? He's difficult to get round. We know that, but yeah, I just haven't seen, you know, and to be honest, we never do with Kerr. You know, we never really see an electric season from the guy. I mean, last year at Pre when he won the mile.
Yeah, it's probably the closest we've seen to it, right?
That's the closest we've seen where we're like, well, this is a world champion performing here. Whereas Kerr is always, you know, through the season, subpar by his level. But yeah, I just think, you know, you've got Jakob there. If he stands any chance, and the thing is, he still won't win by hammering that third lap, I don't think. But he'll have a much, it's a Christian Serrato situation. He'll have a much better chance of getting on the podium if he drills that third lap. And because he'll break five guys doing that, but he won't be able to break the whole field.
Serrato's was actually 2.5 laps. He went after 600.
600 to a K, he drops 55 indoors.
And that was when like 55 is unheard of.
Well, and obviously these are college guys, right? Who, like, most of the field are up 3:59 at the time, so in old spikes. So that is just ridiculous, yeah.
Still probably one of the best races we've watched, mate.
But I also remember, I've never seen a better 1500 ever.
Pre-Serratos, Hamza Drouche was, you know, he was doped up. But
at, yeah, I was going to say, he's not the best example.
No. But at the World Juniors, in 2012, Hamza Drouche dropped a 52 third lap. And it was like insane. And he just blew the whole field apart. And obviously he went on to 2012 Olympics and then went on to serve a drugs ban as well.
Do you remember the Alpha Kipketer? It would have been World Juniors in...
Yeah, we're going back here.
2013.
Yeah, the one
lane. 49, did he?
49 in a 1500. Yeah, that was just...
No. In the eight, but obviously it's World Juniors or maybe even World Youths. The one at Langford got a second, I think, but he was like,
Langford got a medal that year. 2013, Donetsk, World Youths.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would love to see a big third lap. El Gruz used to be a master at it, and he had to resort to that tactic, you know, in 04 to get the job done because, you know.
And just that squeeze over the last lap.
Yeah. Okay, and he's probably the closest guy to a Jakob Ingebrigtsen. In the way, you know, the physiology is there. Like, he's an incredible 5,000 runner, or was an incredible 5,000 runner, was El Gruz and Jakob similar. So there we are, man. The men's 1500. I mean, we mentioned briefly Whiteman and Gourley, how their chance stacks up to just make the final, let alone the final. I don't think they're challenging in the final. I mean, when you go through, Whiteman hasn't raced that much for me. And he obviously had that illness in and around British champs. Whiteman is someone who likes to race, and he hasn't raced a whole lot. And, you know, he sits with a 331. He's 331, five seasons best. Mate, he's outside the 30-odd in the world. And I know you can't go on times, but in this day and age when the races are 330 races, kind of...
Well, yeah. And even if they're not, a lot of the races run at that pace. So you're... Even if they run 335, it's quick. We're not seeing these like 345, 1500 meter finals anymore. It's never going to be that slow.
Yeah. So. Giles is going. Sorry, we always just focus on them three, but Giles is actually contesting the 1500 as well. Yeah, Cam Myers is like, you've got your Chariots, Ronald and Timothy, who are looking really good. And obviously Timothy's with Lauros. You've obviously got Lauros and Nielsen. Those guys are in the top five in the world this year on, you know, they're both 329 performers this year. You've got Myers, another 329 guy. Obviously you've got Kurt. Nada looks like he's struggling a little bit, and then you've got Famil Kovač, Habs, Moberg. I mentioned that Norwegian kid. I can't wait to see what he can do. Might be a championship too far for him this year, but over the next few years, Jan Skrup, France's 5K, 10K boy European cross winner in 2023, has run 331 this year. Like, what? Men's 1500. Crazy.
Should we move over to those 5Ks then? Start of women's, obviously, a little bit easier to call, right? You're saying you saw Chebet train the other day, so you... hanging the medal around her neck.
Mate, Chebet session the other day, she did 5K in 2:42, something like that, which is just 68 pretty much for 2K. Obviously, the track's at about 2,300 meters in Kenya on the track she ran it at. She had a couple mile paces. So she did 2K in 5:42. She had like, I actually don't know her full recovery, but she had what looked like a decent recovery. And then she did sets of 1 mile, 30 seconds, 400. In between, and that was a set. So another sort of broken 2K. And in between those, she had about 3-4 minutes, I think. She sort of hung around, like walked up, walked 100, walked back 100. So 200 meters of walking, and then she was off again. And she was doing her miles in anywhere between 4:30 and 4:35, which is just, again, 68, 14:10, 5K at 2,200 meters. And then she was doing her 400, so 30 seconds, 462. She did three sets of that. The lady did 4x2K pretty much at 14:10, 5K rhythm, quicker if you add those 400s in. And obviously she's run 13:58. And I was just like mesmerized.
How do you compete with that, right?
Yeah.
I was just saying, yeah, you just like, how do you compete with that? And I think the only way is if this race goes slow, and you just don't, it won't, because there's other women.
Man, she's got best kick in the game. She's 1500 now as well. Like, yeah, it won't. And then, by the way, and then I thought she was done. She chilled for a bit, looked like she was going to get ready to go home, took her spikes off, walked around. And then 10 minutes later, puts the spikes back on, starts ripping 300s in 44. And like, I don't know, when we left, she was on 5 300s in 44. She might have stayed there and done 10. She might have done 5. I don't know. But she was still running in spikes when we left, and she'd already done 5 300s in 44. So,
surprised you were managed to be dragged away, mate.
Yeah, I know. We were at the track a while. And I just think, yeah, there's no one in the world that can compete with that. I mean, that'd be a bloody good session for a 13:30 runner up at 2200 meters. You know,
this is what we were saying the other day when Matt kind of first told me about his session, is we were trying to think of what level of like male athlete runs a session like that. And she's probably someone who's run quicker than 13:58.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know any athlete who could put together that session at their current 5K pace. Like 2K.
At their PB pace.
Yeah, at their PB pace. 2K mile, 400 mile, 400 mile, 400.
And then come back and run 400s at, or 300, sorry, at 1500 meter pace.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, there were some good recoveries. Obviously, she's, you know, the altitude doesn't affect her that much up there. You know, she's used to it. She's born there. But and this was a few days after she went and ran that 3:52. And I think it was only about three or four days after that. I was surprised to even see her at the track, because it's only the other day we were watching her on TV. So
is Faith doubling up? Is that confirmed or no?
Is Kipyegon doubling up? Good question. Possibly. But I was going to say with the women's 5K, it could well be a Kenyan sweep if Kipyegon is doubling up, because you've got Nigetic as well. Agnes Nigetic, who's obviously like 14:01, finished just behind Chebet in that race in Eugene when she broke the world record. And, you know, they are just head and shoulders. And whenever you've got Segai in a race, it's not going to...
Yeah, she is doing it.
Kipyegon's doubling. So,
yeah.
Well, there you go then. You know, you're going to have Chebet, you're going to have Nigetic, you're going to have Kipyegon. I think the Kenyans are going to want that sweep. It's going to be a fascinating matchup, because Segai is just going to try and, you know, maybe she's got a few disposable Ethiopians. Like Hailu and Halom and whoever they've got on their team, the Ethiopians. And they seem to just go with Segai and like help her when she does these crazy things in Diamond Leagues. Oh, it's Dila who's doing it for them. Or she ran this year 14:20 in Rome, 7th. But yeah, can Segai get amongst the best in the world, the best ever? Chebet and Getic and Kipyegon.
Yeah, she can. But it's going to be tough. What I'd say with the Kenyans, they never help each other, do they? Like whenever either the Kenyans or the Ethiopians are going for a sweep, they never seem to help each other, and they always end up doing the opposite, I find.
Not like they used to, eh?
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's all different aliens. Like Nigetic trains with different people. Chebet trains with different people. Obviously, Kipyegon trains with Sang and stuff. So, but I think they are friends-ish. Kipyegon and Chebet are friends. And I think they will want to sweep. And I think with the women's 1500 being first, Kipyegon's going to be a little more relaxed. Whereas in Paris, it was the other way around, right? And the women's 5K was first, and then Kipyegon went on and won gold in the 1500. Whereas I'm pretty sure the women's 1500 is that's over and done with on day four, and then obviously the women's 5K I think is on the final. Men's 5K is the final day. Women's 5K, yeah, it's the following Saturday, day 8 of the championships. So we could see some team tactics in order to get Chebet to get a double. And we'll see if Nigetic can get amongst it as well. 14:01, she's seen world record holder and world best over the 10. So, yeah, that's the women's 5K. I mean, men's 5,000, maybe Jakob has more of a shot here.
Yeah, I'm just reading an article 4 days ago, saying he's yet to confirm if he's doing 1500, 5, or both. So there's a chance that he only runs one each.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it's a European Athletics article, and apparently it's based off what he said on Norwegian TV.
Oh, really? I thought Norwegian Athletics said...
Had they confirmed it since then, maybe? This was 30th of August.
But
we probably expect him to do both, right? He, the kind of guy he is, he's never one to shy away from it.
Well, the thing is, the 15 is first, so he will toe the line for the 1500.
Yeah.
And I think the only way he doesn't run the 5K is if he's actually beat up. And the problem with the Achilles,
he wins.
No, he loves it when he wins. He loves, I think he, the only way he doesn't do the five is if he has like a stinker.
Has he ever won and then come back and do the five? I don't think that's happened. He always goes into the five really aggressive after getting beat the night before.
Well, we'd have to go, he didn't double in Tokyo, did he?
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever done that. The reason he wins the five is because he's pissed off. Normally,
he does it indoors.
It's not the same. It's not the same.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think the only way he doesn't double is if he's basically injured. And this is the problem with the Achilles, like that. It doesn't really go away, and you do have to change your training a little bit. I mean, the guy's he's changed his shoes. He's been running in like OG Vaporfly 4%. You know, the first model that had done like 8K. He reckons he'd done 800K in them. But, you know, his Achilles is so bad, he's now clutching at straws going back to shoes that he wore 5 years ago to try and like help his Achilles.
See, I think that's just not. Because I'm not, if he really wanted them, Nike would just give him a new pair of them.
Well, mate, they don't make them. The factory's closed down.
They can make whatever they want.
They can. They literally can. Yeah, but not maybe
being your person. He can have whatever he wants.
Not sure.
Ah, mate, there's probably a few pairs knocking around on StockX. I'm sure Jakob can afford them. Well, that is purely for
training. You're saying he might have done like some speed training. He's done X, Y, and Z. But I think with the Achilles, you do have to change the way you train a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean,
that's also the thing with the doubling, because even though the new spikes are like, they're better than old spikes, but the amount of races, if you've got a bad Achilles to do five races is a lot.
Yeah. I think I watched this YouTube not long ago and he's like easy running in bloody Alpha Flies. And I'm like, his Achilles.
Haywood used to do that though, didn't he? Used to do some runs in Next Percents when he with his injury problem. I'm pretty sure he told us that.
Well, to be honest, the Kenyans do it, mate. There's Alpha Flies all over the place there, and they're running on like the muddiest, rockiest trails. And yeah, their ankles are just built different. Don't know how they do it.
Yeah, but then Kohok is out there just ripping tempos, filthy tempos in Structure 25s.
Exactly.
Look, this is what I'm most excited to see is Hocker over the 5K. To be honest, I think of the whole champ.
Oh, here we go. Talk of YouTube, there's a Lupton House workout on YouTube. It's a flow track. Too bad I hadn't seen that before we did the preview. Maybe that would have swayed my decision. I stand by it. Anyway, Jakob's chances in the 5,000. Grant Fisher has struggled in the Diamond Leagues, although I still think he's going to win. But he has disappointed me.
Grant Fisher doesn't win. He's come off the boil, mate.
No. He's in heavy training, and
he doesn't do heavy training. He literally had the changes he's made this year. He now doesn't really do heavy training.
Yeah, that's
5 miles worth of work.
That Bauman base.
It's gone now, though. It's gone. This is a classic. Well, this is what they do. They run well for a year after leaving, right? And now it's gone.
Anyway, I still back Fisher. He is always there. He's put himself in bad positions.
He'll medal. I don't think he wins.
Oh, he definitely medal, but he's put himself in bad positions in the Diamond Leagues recently, and he needs to not do that. Because he has the wheelhouse and he has the ability to win, but he's been coming from some shoddy positions in the Diamond Leagues. And it's because it's like slowed up. Do you know what I mean? And I think.
And I got beat by Koskeren in a 3K.
Yeah, but Koskeren can only do four laps with these boys when they get moving.
No, but I'm not saying Koskeren's going to win the 5K. I'm saying
hey, look, you don't want to be winning Diamond Leagues if you go on Fisher. He's been learning lessons. Nico Young is a big threat in the 5K.
I agree with that.
He is a big threat. Ongren, I don't think he has it over the last. He's a Jakob. He's way too based, even despite his 800 time back in the day. He just doesn't have the gear change for me. This 5K is going to be won by boys with the gear change because they are also the boys who can run the fastest as well. So you've got Fisher, you've got Nico Young, Mahari. His gear change, he is an incredible athlete and I want to see more of him. I want to see him start to just destroy fields. You know, he needs to take a lesson from Kijeltra and just start dropping some 59s at 3K to 4K, but he just doesn't seem to back himself. And whenever he sort of goes to the front, he slows it and he too gets himself in messy positions with a big old stride. And, you know, he's one of the threats for the Ethiopians, but again, the Ethiopians come forward. Kijeltra's in the 10. I think Kijeltra might win the 10. It's going to be my pick for the 10 is Kijeltra. If whoever's coaching this guy can just convince him not to start dropping 59s at like 8K. Yeah. But with that men's five, obviously, yeah, Mills, does he finish in the top five, top six? Lum no. Shaking his head.
No. I think a good result for Mills is making a final.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Mills needs to make a final legit.
Yeah.
The proper way, not by default, and then and see what he can do. So,
mate, don't count out my man Aragawi.
Aragawi's in the 10.
Do you not do both?
No, not letting him. Ethiopians don't rate Dublin, except for Segai. Mate, I've got a team here. Trust me.
At least Matt's done his research.
Segai's the only one. Yeah, Segai's the only one Dublin on the women's side. But yeah, on the men's, they got Mahari, Kumagoma, and Hagos Kebriwa, who we do rate. But again, hasn't quite looked. Not quite seeing the Gebriwa.
He just doesn't.
Not quite seeing the Gebriwa.
Not convincing, right?
Mate, they just don't look to have much confidence at the moment, the Ethiopians. They're so they never
just
use
run round. They just run round.
Yeah, the only one who gets after it these days is Kijelcha.
Yeah, and almost to his detriment, yeah, like you said.
He does hang on though sometimes. So yeah, the men's five is gonna be very interesting just how it plays out if it's tactical. And I hope Jakob does it, because I hope there is a sort of a long drive for home and it sort of stays interesting. But it might be a last lap burner and everyone might be stacking up on top of each other. But with all these boys and all their threshold and this and that, someone's got to start stringing it out. And Mills.
Oh, yeah, if it's slow, Hocker creams it.
Well, Mills had his best race of the year when he sort of hit the front and started turning the screw. And he's got, you know, for me, Mills has got to do that at the Worlds. If he makes the final and it's slow, he's just got to get up there and start just clipping off some 61s,
yeah.
I think, and just ask the question, because they've all got. Yeah, they've all got heat in their legs and it's going to be roasting hot. That's the thing, though. It is going to be scorching. And the heat starts to play a factor in the five. It's going to be 30 plus degrees, mate. Crazy humidity. And this is why it might be a little cagey. So, but anyway, I'm going to go with Grant Fisher. I'm not going to overthink the 5,000 too much. It is probably the hardest. I mean, we think the 10's the hardest one to call because you just don't see that many people
race. Yeah.
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 Sure,
so, mate.
Grant Fisher and Chebet and... in that one for me.
Oh, I'll back Cole Hocker, mate. Do a slow race. Everyone be cagey. Hocker will be coming off a silver medal after Kerr has spanked him in the 1500. And he'll have the bit between his teeth. I'm terrible. I just pick what I want to happen.
I want Fisher to win. It's crazy that we're just not saying Jakob's going to win. I mean, bloody hell, the guy's won the 5,000, like pissed up the 5,000 the last 3 years.
But if he'd race at all, then I'm backing Jakob over 5K.
Yeah.
But I just
might play into Jakob's favour that it is slow, because if it turns into a 1500 race, he's the best 1500 runner. He's way better. Huh? He's the best 1500 runner easily out of the likes of like Grant Fisher, Nico Young, George Mills.
I'm saying Hocker's the Olympic champ.
Don't.
That's what we always say, mate. We can't pick and choose. I don't know, mate.
He's going to be knackered. He's going to be knackered.
We talk about Team Soma. You watch some of those videos. The guy, he is locked in. And he talks about wanting to do the 8:15 double. The guy is so competitive. Now, you think Jakob's got a mindset? That guy's a mindset. He just doesn't do like stupid interviews, like goading everyone into it. He's got it like up there, he's got it.
Yeah,
you see them they're doing like underwater pool lengths, him v Cooper Tier, and he won't lose.
Cooper Tier ain't got much lungs on the boy.
No, true. Oh, I feel sorry
anyway
for
Jesus, a Cole Hocker double, that would just melt Lechman, wouldn't it? The internet
wouldn't. No, but I don't think he wins the 15. I mean, I'm a bit of a Hocker fanboy these days.
Right,
but...
mate, that's our take on the 5K. I mean, everyone's popped out a decent time in the men's five this year. They all got involved in either Stockholm or Oslo. And, you know, there was two big 5Ks this year and everyone sort of collected a time from that. And Paris was also a half decent five, wasn't it? So,
A few in a row, didn't they? Yeah, let's get into those 10s then. Obviously, like we said, Chebet looks ridiculous. As you said, Segai doubling as well, allowed to double, defending champ. Bit of a two horse race there.
Yeah, the women's. No, we've done the women's five, haven't we? I swear I've.
No, back. the ten. They're both doubling, aren't they?
I mean, yeah. Too busy looking
looking up some stats.
But yeah, the women's 10. Yeah, it's just a bit difficult to call, really. I mean, you just go with Chebet when you're smashing that. Don't think anyone else is going to get anywhere near him, really. Ngetic, have you got that Kenyan team up, have you? Or Ngetic challenge? See, the women's 10 is still very much a Kenyan and Ethiopian affair, isn't it? Like they're just going to destroy the podium. Same in the women's 5. They're going to absolutely sweep the podium and probably the top 5 or 6 places as well.
Yeah. Which is interesting, considering how the rest of the world over the men's side have...
Well, this is, I feel like...
Yeah.
Yeah, the women's distance is where the men's distance was in like 2004, between 2004 and sort of 2012, I swear. Like just East African dominance. Batekleti is like one who can really sort of get amongst it. Maybe Shelby Houlihan. Although she's not in the 10. She's in the 5.
Yeah, no, they've got Chepngetic, Ngetic and Chebet.
Oh, yeah, well, see you later.
This Athletics Kenya article says they're eyeing the sweep. I'm like,
I'll sweep
them. They're not just signing up.
No, they'll sweep that. They'll sweep that. Say
it. No, that's what I mean. It's like, you don't even need to run the race. Mate, over on the men's side, could have an Ethiopian sweep, right?
Be good, wouldn't it? Would be fun to watch.
Gocha, Aragawi, Berega. Is Berega, is he selecting? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's Berega. So the Ethiopian team is Kijelcha, Aragawi, Berega, and Mahari. It's very cool.
With Grant Fisher doubling back.
Yeah, see, the men's 10 is just a little bit... Well, you say Grant Fisher doubling back. Actually, the 10, the 10,000, is that day 2? Oh, yes. Men's 10,000. 1:30 on Sunday is the men's 10,000 meter final. That's our time. One day.
Lovely stuff, kicking it off nicely.
Yes.
Have that, and then football will be back straight after.
Yeah. Wow. Copenhagen half in the morning, then the men's 10. Got the women's 1500 semi-final, actually, just before the men's 10. Men's 10, and then it's on to the football. So yeah, all of the evening sessions are going to be between 10 and 2 our time, which is quite nice. So we're going to catch all the evenings. Obviously, the morning sessions are going to be a little challenging to watch. They're going to be at like 1:30, 2 a.m. that sort of thing. But it's all kind of qualification, so you don't mind watching it. So you can stay up and watch it live, but you don't mind watching it live, do you? So yeah, right then, yeah, okay. Well, the men's 10,000 is going to be interesting. You have what the Ethiopians. I think they are the strongest. I mean, I'm backing Kijelcha to come away with this one just purely from a kick standpoint. He's running really well over the 5K. The guy's a freak over the half marathon as well, let's be honest. You know, just missing the world record himself. I think, you know, he is the man in the 10,000. You've got Aragawa, you got Berega in there as well, and you've got Mahari as well. So like these guys can help him out, hopefully. But I think it's going to be a Kijelcha show.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there, mate. And obviously, it's just be interesting to see if Grant Fisher and maybe even someone like Nico Young can crack their way into those medals as well.
I wonder with the heat, how much that is going to affect those boys, because it's the heat and the humidity, and it's, you know, it's going to be 30 plus, and I wonder how much that would affect Blanks, Fisher, Nico Young out there, but also not just affect them in the race, but affect their recovery as well in between races. You know, you come off it absolutely depleted. How can you bounce back, get ready for the 5 and go again? So, yeah, it is difficult in that sense. But, you know, Berega has run a very, really good 1500 this year. I was reading a thing on his coach and he was like, yeah, he's running his best ever over 1500. That was something that he always struggled with. And now he reckons he's in a really good 10K shape as well. So, and those guys, they went 1, 2, 3, obviously at Hayward Field for their trials, Mahari, Aragawi and Berega, and sort of swept it. So I think we might get, just like the Kenya women might sweep, I think it's possible you could have a sweep, but I think it would need to be hard and fast for the Ethiopians to sweep that.
Yeah, but these guys don't like to hang around, do they?
Uh-uh.
So I can't see a jog fest.
No.
Well, certainly not for more than 2K.
Yeah. So that's that, mate. Let's get on these
steeples. Through these steeples quickly.
Men's steeple is an interesting one because Albakali and Rupert, you know, those guys ran exceptionally well, but that was the end of May. You know, how are they holding up since? Obviously, Mura has looked incredible from Japan. You know, and they're your top three, Albakali, Rupert, and Mura this year.
Sarah, it's crazy to say. If at the start of the year we were like, okay, there's going to be a German and then a Japanese athlete in your top three in the world over the steeplechase.
Yeah. Moore is just 23. He's only just 23 years of age. He's a guy. Guy's got a career ahead of him. He could start to dominate this event the way he just puts his little foot on. He's so good over the barriers. He's so efficient. And he's just an absolute specialist. And then, you know, you have got the Kenya challenge from Sarah, but obviously Rupert put him away the other day. And yeah, the Kenyans just aren't. Apparently, speaking to a few people over there, they reckon that there's not as many, they're clearing too many trees these days. So whereas they used to, like, if a tree fell down, they used to just leave it on the path for like years. And the Kenyans would all have to like hurdle them. And now they're just not doing enough obstacles, apparently. Like,
well, it's funny you should say that. I saw him clearing up some of the trees off the Cardiff Cross course the other day.
What? They're not going to have to
box? I'm not sure. I'll have to go and do a bit more investigating. What I would say, the turf is looking phenomenal. It looks like a full NCAA mown course right now. So if anyone wants to get some workouts in ahead of Cardiff Cross Challenge in October, yeah, I would head down now because it is beautiful. But I did see him moving some logs. So either they could have been adding more, or maybe just taking the ones away or replacing them. I'm not sure. I don't know if they're actually, the people who landscape there actually chat to the cross country, or they just decide to mow it and then the cross country just have it for the weekend and just use what's there. You know, I have no idea, but anyway. I digress.
Good to know that is looking good, though. It always looks good this time of year.
Yeah, mate. Kenneth Rooks, then?
Yeah, so the Americans, it's the one. I mean, Rooks, I think his training partner, that Mikowski, is looking better for me. He ran 8:14. The pair of them just closed like freaks. It's like he just ran a 2 flat last 800. He's high. It's just like, it's animals. I don't know what Ed Iceland does to allow them to close so hard, but for me, Rooks actually isn't looking as good as last year, like when it comes to closing. Like, I know he won the US trials, but Mikowski came back at him, and then Rooks went and paced Mikowski, didn't he, at that North American champs, and then that's where Mikowski ran his 8:14, and again they closed silly fast, and he closed fast at US champs, and he just looks good, man. And they're going to be, I think, when you look at how last year panned out as well, like Ed Iceland got his guys to the championships and then they didn't race and they just peaked for the champs and they just knew how to close. And I think with the steeple this year as well, El Bakkali is definitely not at his best. I think he's been suffering from injuries and stuff like that. You don't have a natural front runner in there. And, you know, even the Diamond Leagues, we've seen, you know, 809's winning you a Diamond League now. And that's very different to where the event was, you know, Prime Jager, Prime Kipruto, you know, Prime Germa, and Christ, you know, I can't wait to see Germa back in the mix, because, you know, we can't count him out. And just because, you know, we saw him run once or twice this year, I think, in 807. But again, like, where's he been? How he's developing? But I just think with Germa and Albacali, they're not as strong as they once were. And I mean, Germa has his reasons. Jesus. After last year,
for sure. I still think El Bakkali's heavy favorite, though, just because of the caliber of athlete he is. And when it comes to championships, the guy, he's just ruthless. And I think unless you drop him, well, I don't know, 800 to go, there's no way he doesn't win. Like, on the last lap, you just can't beat El Bakkali.
El Bakkali? Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like, I think he has to get a bit of a gap. Kenneth Rooks and Mikowski are just tanks, mate.
But they won't be doing that if they are sat on El Bakkali with a lap to go. They won't have that in the locker. That's what I'm saying. They do that when they're racing for third, beating a load of guys, running from eight to third, or in a US race.
Yeah, I think I would love to see some different faces on the podium in the steel. I'd love to see Rupert or Mura get up there and get on the podium. You know, Bebendorf is an 808 guy as well. There's quite a lot of, the guy who won a Diamond League the other way as well, what's his name, Grosjean, from Luxembourg. he ran his national record of 8:09 and stuff. So, but I think for all these guys, you know, for Rupert Amore, if they're going to feature, they've got to make it hard from 2K out. Like they can't, they can't let that second K dawdle, because if that second K does dawdle, which I think it might, because, you know, you're saying about Albacali and Germer and stuff, but you know, these guys, they're not in 7:55 shape. They're not in 7:52 shape like they once were. And so they're not going to be as confident in sort of hammering from the first K off after a couple of laps like they used to. And I think because of that, it is going to slow in that second K, and it's going to then slowly build towards the last lap. And you can't count out the Americans if it's like that. But, you know, the way I look at like Rupert and Moira, I don't think they're going to have the same clothes as a Rooks and a Mikowski. So I think I'd probably back an American to definitely podium, just like last year, but I think it'll be Mikowski over Brooks.
Yeah, I think they probably do medal, but it will be coming from further back and hitting a bronze or a silver versus taking closer order. But I think that's...
Do you want to know a stat? France had 6 steeplers inside 8:14 this year. Unreal, isn't it? Next best punchy behind Ethiopia. That is unreal. Not even Kenya had that. So there we go, men's steeple. But I'm gonna go with Albacali just because of track record. We haven't seen heaps from Germer.
You just can't bet against the guy.
Nope. Anyway, let's women's steeple, mate. Little harder to call, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Yavi still though is like she's a defending champ, 8:45 this year. It's one at Prix, obviously, and it's hard to look past her. But it's not as, it's never clear cut. And when I say the women's steeple, you just get people that just come out of the woodwork. Even steeple in general, to be honest, like you get Elise people Thorner. What's that?
Elise Thorner, mate. Elise Thorner, I think, is going to finish top 6.
Yeah, I think she'll do really well. I don't think she'll get a medal, but I think she will do really well. She'll
get top 6, I think. Just think in the Diamond Leagues as well. The Diamond League they did in the Piss and Rain, I think, would have been a big confidence boost for her, because although she came out, did she come like 5th in that in the end?
Yeah, she started being a home straight, but what was good is she got herself in and amongst like some top women.
This is it. She spent quite a lot of the time, like previously she's gone into races and you go into a Diamond League and you're like, okay, I'm going to sort of start towards the back and try and pick a few off and get amongst it, etc. But you're very much not thinking about those top places. You know, your mind is just focused on your rhythm, on the lights, and just on like holding one or two people in front of you. But the Diamond League, where it's hammering down, and Thorner was in 2nd for a large part, I think she would have come away from that a little bit disappointed with that 4th, 5th, whatever she got, because there was a period in that race where I was like, just push on, just leave her. Like these women, they were hurdling terribly. She got messed around as well in that race. Like there was I can't remember who the lady was in front, but she was always like stuttering, having some stinky water jumps, and Thorner was getting trapped behind her and she was cutting her up quite a bit. And I just think she would have walked away from that and she would have gone, actually, I can compete with these women. I can challenge them, and I can make strong moves that might pay off and might break them. And so I hope she does, you know, she'll go in with heaps of confidence. I mean, she's having a great season, obviously, but I hope she does move aggressively in, you know, once you get that first K done in Tokyo, I hope she just really gets after it. And that's what Lizzie Bird did so well over the last couple of years. You know, she just didn't fear any of the other opposition. And I think the women's steeple is in a position where like, people have got times on paper, but everyone is up and down.
No, it's good. It's exciting, and it's nice that we've managed to like not replace, but get someone in who's going to continue kind of the inroads that Lizzie Bird has made in the past few years over the event from a British perspective. And it'll be interesting to see how quick she can go as well. It's obviously 9:15 this year, but the steeple was one of the ones that if she makes a final, right, if she gets herself in the final, making the final is often then one of the best chances you have of running quick in that final as well.
Yeah. Oh, it will be fast. You know, these women are always breaking 9 minutes these days. Like, I can't remember the last time I saw them run outside 9. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a very aggressive pace from the off. And if she can just buy the time the first K, but then start challenging, making moves on people like Maya, Fino, you know, even a few of the Ethiopians who start to struggle. But yeah, up front, you're right, Yavi is a tank. So Cheritich as well. Between Yavi and Cheritich, I would say.
Yeah. Well, look, mate, that pretty much wraps us up.
And you bet we haven't discussed is Emil's Kress chances.
He medals, doesn't he? Goes one better than last year. I think it's not going to be as strong. The guy just continues to improve.
You reckon? You reckon he medals?
Yes, it done.
He might.
I think
win.
So. I can't imagine Emil having a bad race. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can you see it? Like, and he's going to go off and try and compete. But can you see Emil Kress blowing up?
Wait a minute, because... No, I can't see Emil Kress. How can you say that, mate? Like, he has. I know what you mean. Like, he just prepares so diligently for races. Yeah. Just like, God, when Emil goes into his, like...
How are we supposed to Canova? Canova almost talks about that in terms of that there's no... There's not really an excuse for it. When the preparation has gone right.
No, excuse me, my performance. Wait there, mate, because I want to just see the... God, Tokyo got a typhoon weather warning. Okay. I just want to see the weather. I mean, I just think the weather's going to be so hard. The marathon is, when the weather's as extreme as it is, I think it is hard to call how people are going to go. Oh boy. Yeah, it's going to be 30. It's going to be 32 degrees. It's hot to do a marathon in 32 degrees.
What time is the race?
It's like, is it 8 a.m. or something?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, the marathons are at midnight for us, mate, by the way. So we'll have to watch those.
Yeah. Bad way to spend a Saturday night.
Yeah. So the marathon is women's marathon, midnight of the 14th. Men's marathon, midnight of the 15th. So that'll be Sunday. Yeah, Sunday night. Sunday. So, yeah, going into Monday. But yeah, that weather looks... I mean, we're a little way off at the moment, aren't we? But yeah, 8 a.m. And I've heard it does get pretty roasty, pretty toasty, even at 8 o'clock. But
there we go.
It's a little bit.
I'm sure Emil is doing what he needs to do. Canova's getting ready.
Yeah. But yeah, the marathon, I think it's too difficult for us to call. I'm not 100% who all the athletes are as well who are doing the marathon.
Yeah, what we'll do is when we're doing the chatting through the days and stuff as we get through, we'll probably have a bit more info on the marathons and who's actually in Tokyo ready to go. And then we could probably talk a bit more about that.
Yeah, you've got people like Clayton Young doing it as well, haven't you? But there we go. Well, that's all from us. So I guess we'll be back with some daily podcasts throughout the World Championships, putting our reviews in. Maybe we'll get a couple guests on to share their expertise as well. But that'll be the game plan through the World Champs and obviously everything in and around that in Copenhagen and Berlin. And if we're going to see some crazy times on the roads. And then shortly after the World Champs, we look ahead to... And in New York as well. And obviously the cross-country campaign gets underway and we'll be back with your sort of routine guests on a Sunday. But for the next few weeks, it'll just be me and Lum.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. Appreciate it as always. And we'll catch you very soon.